Hello, everyone. Let me turn this lamp off real quick. Okay. All right. Hello, everybody. Y'all come in and say hi. As you can see, I'm in a hotel room in Nashville. And I'm looking out the window here. Take off my shirt. Hello, Jennifer. Hello, Tammy. So everybody can hear me. Might have a little glare on my glasses, but it should be okay. Let me do something real quick. Okay, that's probably going to be a little bit less harsh. Yes, much better. All right, how's everybody doing today? Looks like we have one person with their hand raised. So I am in Nashville, as many of you all probably know, for our camp that started yesterday afternoon, and we are well in our way, in the way of, well, on our way. Changing some lives around here. So wish everyone could come. Yes, Ava, it is amazing as always. This is our biggest camp. We've got 350 of y'all in a room downstairs. And Corinne is just coaching her face off, as we like to say. So I am here to coach y'all. So Kat, I'm going to start with you. And Tammy is next. And then we'll go from there. So whoever wants to get on here and coach with me today, let's do it. Okay. All right, Kat, you're up first. Hey, lady. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, now.
Hey.
Hi.
I think some congratulations are in order.
Yeah.
Did you see the Marco Polo?
I did. I saw them.
Awesome.
Yeah. Aaron was going around the room.
Yes. Yes. For everyone who does not know, well, why don't you tell everyone?
No. Not comfortable with that.
Kat has hit the 100 pounds lost mark as of today. Love it. So we've all been celebrating you here, Kat.
Yeah.
I want you to know.
All right.
Yes. So what's up? What's going on?
I'm having a lot of problems getting this, like understanding the 100-pound loss. Like it's not clicking very quickly, I guess. Like I'm sort of sitting here all day, like what the hell?
So what do you think clicking is going to look like, or what it's supposed to?
I don't know. Usually with stuff, big stuff, it takes days, and I'm really like my mind just chugs along really slow, like and. I get really quiet, and it concerns people when I'm that quiet. It's, yeah.
Well, we're not concerned about other people, right?
No, we're not.
They've got their own stuff going on.
Right.
So, I mean, if this is something that usually happens with big stuff, then what's the big deal?
Because it's a big thing.
Yeah.
This is like the biggest thing so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, relish it. Take time to let it all soak in, right? What's wrong with that?
That's weird. Actually, I'm not supposed to use the word weird. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's way different for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it bad, right?
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Just let it do what it's going to do. Because I think for you, that's important in the, you know, in the accepting it phase, right? Because if you're thinking it's weird, if you're thinking it's different, if you're thinking something might be going wrong here, then that's where the thoughts about, well, maybe this isn't supposed to be happening, or maybe this is just a fluke or whatever it is, right? Those thoughts might kind of start to seep in. So it's just like, okay, I'm just gonna let this land for a little while.
All right.
And it's all okay.
Like, I'm really good at not letting in the negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Like, about my weight. Other thoughts, like, with my girlfriend, with, like, accepting my body. It's that, those sneak in all the time. But about, like about the weight itself, it doesn't, it's not as bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no thoughts are bad, right?
No, I know. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
So let them all in.
Right.
And then, you know, they can all be there. We talked so much about the model the last couple of days. And we talked about pausing the model where, okay, you know, and let me kind of go back on what I said a second ago. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, let's say some thoughts do seep in, right? So what? As long as you don't go through the model and act on them, then of course you're going to have a million different thoughts.
I don't know the model. That's the only concept I haven't really gotten in PNP.
Okay, why not?
I don't know. I just don't understand it.
Okay, well, let's help you figure it out. What's so confusing about the model?
It's not in order. There's no definitive order of operation, kind of like math. Kind of like writing a paper. There's no definitive order. And that's my problem.
Well, there absolutely is an order, CTFAR, right?
No, but you can some things are plugged in first and
right.
Yep, and then it's not always in the same order that you can answer the question.
But there's no way to do it perfectly, in other words.
It's not perfect. I know there's no such thing as perfection. But it's just not in order that I can understand. It's kind of like all over the place and scattered.
So if you had to guess, what would you think you would need to do to understand the model?
Practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like math, kind of like anything else, right? I mean, you know, it's just like kind of like losing weight, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you are sitting here reaping the benefits of practicing imperfection.
Right.
For 100 pounds lost.
Right.
It's worth it, right?
Yes.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
To feel a little uncomfortable about not being able to do things perfectly and not being able to figure things out sometimes. But sounds like this is kind of your next maybe one of your next things to work on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want you to do your first model today on your 100-pound lost anniversary.
Okay.
And then you can post it in Ask Coaches. You can post it in the Facebook group. Tag me. Tag Kathy. And let's get you going on it so that a year from now or 6 months from now or however long that you have – you can reflect back on this time just like you're reflecting back today, right? About how far you've come.
Right.
Because we always want to be moving forward.
Yes.
We always want to be growing.
Someone had told me something and I wrote it on one of my very first commitment lists. Like you can choose to go backwards and it's like, you can choose to go backwards. You can choose to go forwards, but which one do you want to choose to move you to get going? And stalling is not an option.
Mm.
It fucking kills me every time I read it and every time it pops into my head, because who wants to go backwards?
Right.
You know, and I understand like with all of this, like it takes like a couple steps forward and a couple steps backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's always touch and go, but
you're still, I love the metaphor or whatever about walking in sand. Like sometimes you think it just feels like you're not getting anywhere and you're just kind of, but you're making a little bit of progress slowly, but surely. And yeah, you might go back a little bit, you know, a little bit, but it's just a matter of you're always striving to move forward. You're always, even if you go back a little bit, you learn from what happened and you keep moving forward with that information.
Right.
And so it's just, okay. So for you, a powerful question for, you know, to ask yourself today would be, okay, I've hit this mark. How do I want to move forward? you know, what's my next thing? Like I said, what's my next thing to work on?
Okay.
And just, you know, you've been doing that for 100 pounds. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else?
No.
Well, I just want you to, again, just let all of this land, just take your time. There's no hurry here. There's no timeline. There's no anything, but just let it happen. Let the thoughts come in and just relish in this time and all the support that you're getting and recognize how far you've come, recognize what you've accomplished, and then keep on going.
Okay.
All right. So I'll be looking for that model.
All right.
And we're doing Fat Girl Thinking this week, right? So you can go back and look at that No BS module. And I mean, you could even do a model. What would you want to do your model on?
I don't know.
How about I've lost 100 pounds.
Okay, I can do that.
It's a circumstance. How do you want to think about that? Or how do you think about that?
It's very surreal right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But just find a thought. I want you to do that model, and I want you to find a thought that you can be with right now. And it doesn't have to be a big rainbows and daisies. Right. It can be surreal, right? But it's just something that feels right to you right now.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'll be looking for it.
All right.
All right. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye. You're getting all kinds of love in the chat. All right. Tammy, and then Misty. Are you there, Tammy?
I'm here.
Let's see. I'll ask you to start your video. Are you there? There you are. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
So, I've been really committed the last few weeks of doing things, and I've come into a bump. My husband went on a Boy Scout trip and got injured, and I'm having some anger thoughts that are causing me to not do my plan like I have been. And I know that it's not going to help me reach my goals. I've done an unintentional model.
Okay. And
intentional model, because I know that this is going to go on for 6 weeks. Me being angry isn't going to help him nor me. So I'm wanting to try to think of this differently so I can continue to go, and then also learn how to, when I come across these kind of circumstances and my thoughts that come in when I reach a circumstance that throws a bump in life and stuff, of how to handle it better instead of going back to food and just eating.
Well, and a thought in itself is this is a bump.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's not a fact.
No.
or life throws you a curveball. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that sounds, I mean, it sounds kind of harmless, right? But it's like, if you keep thinking this is a bump or life throws you curveballs, then you start looking for more and more of these bumps and curveballs. So let me run and get my marker real quick, and we'll do the model. Okay. All right, because we're working on the model this week. Okay, so what was your unintentional?
So my unintentional was Joe had surgery on his injured finger.
Okay.
My thought was, I'm pissed he's missing 6 weeks of work.
Okay.
When you think about your thought, my feelings were anger, frustration, disappointment.
Okay.
And
what's the one feeling? Let's focus on one feeling. What's the one feeling that you think is
anger?
Anger. Okay. Okay. And so when you feel anger, what are you doing or not doing?
Eating when I'm not hungry and not getting restful sleep.
Okay. All right. And then, so what's the result?
I don't reach my goals and become even more pissed.
Okay. Let's go back to the thought a little bit, because again, just being at camp, we've been doing these models. Mm-hmm. Let's work on getting that result really to match the thought. So when you think he's, you said he's missing work. I'm pissed off that he's missing work.
Right.
What do you make that mean, that he's missing work?
It's putting us in a financial bind. Mm-hmm. He doesn't listen when I ask him not to do something that could put our family in a financial bind, or, you know, something like that. Put us in a hard way.
So we're in a bind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this board is there. I don't have a ton of room on this board, but so Joe had surgery. Your thought is we're in a bind.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling is anger.
Mm-hmm.
Your action is you eat, don't get good sleep. What do you think your result is? And you said it a little bit, just kind of, you know, kind of repeat that. What, when you're not eating and you're not sleeping,
I'm not reaching my goals.
Yeah. You're putting yourself in a bind.
True.
You're creating more binds.
Right.
So when you think we're in a bind, you know, it's like I said, kind of your brain keeps going, well, how else, if we're in a bind already, let's get in a bunch of more binds, right?
Right.
So let me, okay, putting myself in a bind. Okay. So let's. So that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty clear model, right? And it's kind of a cycle.
Right.
It happens over and over again.
Right.
Okay, so what is any additional work you've done on it with your intentional model?
I haven't. I just rewrote the circumstance.
Okay.
Nothing. It's just blank from there.
So where do you want to start in the model? With the intentional.
From what I've seen in past coaching, it's where you should start where you want your result to be and then work backwards.
There's no right answer. I mean, you can start anywhere in the model. You start with how you want to feel about his surgery. You can start with what you want to do differently. You can start with the result, what result you want. Or how you want to think.
And see, this is where I get stuck, because it's hard when you're in the midst of it,
mm-hmm,
to think positively.
And I think that's where kind of, you know, it's where I see y'all moving too quickly sometimes to an intentional model.
Okay.
Right. And that's, yeah, when you find that you're, you know, when you start to do an intentional model and it's just like you're going blank with a thought or, you know, whatever it is,
uh-huh,
and then that's a sign, you know, there's your sign that maybe I don't need to go to one yet. You know, maybe I need to just be where I am and just accept where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even, you know, just accept where I'm thinking and feeling, and then pause the model there. But even going through the whole model, it's just because, again, if you find that you can't move into that intentional model, it's usually because you're resisting the old one. You're totally judging yourself about what you're doing.
Uh-huh. Because
for you, it might be like, well, Joe's sitting over here hurting, and then I'm over here, you know,
feeling like,
yeah, doing all this other stuff that's not helping anything. Right.
Right.
So it's about, you know, it's about thinking about if you, you know, not changing anything yet, but just accepting where you are without judgment, what would that look like to you?
I don't know. I guess think that it's okay to be disappointed or upset, but that doesn't mean that I can still eat off plan or maybe meditate to help relax my mind so I'm not so upset or frustrated about the circumstance, because it doesn't matter how mad I get, the circumstance isn't going to change. So that's what I want, to change those thoughts so I can.
How about just sitting with the anger? How about just being angry for a while?
Because I feel guilty.
Why do you feel guilty?
Because, I don't know, I feel guilty that I'm angry that he had surgery and here he is hurting, even though I didn't want him to go and do what he did because I was worried that he would get hurt. And then it got hurt.
Yeah, so it's like, well, what I was fearing came true.
Right.
You know, and that those are thoughts that are kind of piling on these other ones.
Right.
And so, but I think right now, so let's do, let's see, anger. So this is kind of the, like, kind of an intermediate. And so we're in a bind, right? That was your thought.
Yeah.
So I'm just doing like, we're in a bind. Your feeling is anger. And your action is feel anger. And your result is I practice, you know, feeling my emotions and sitting with my emotions. So, and I'm just showing this to everybody because we're all about the model, showing everybody the models. So that just might be where you need to be right now. If you're not really able to move into a, you know, more rainbows and daisies.
Yeah.
And you're just practicing. Yeah, just practice. I mean, because we want to be able to feel any emotion.
Right.
Without having to cover it up.
I hate that he's going through the recovery. And then because I feel angry, and it might be because, like you said, I'm putting myself in a bind. Maybe because I'm doing that to myself, I'm blaming him for it. So that just makes me even angrier at him. So,
because, I mean, you know, it's the, you know, I know that when the most angry I get is when I'm mad at myself.
Right.
Because I realize that I'm creating that. I'm creating everything. It's not someone else. It's not him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not him getting hurt. It's not him, you know, it's all me. And when you don't have anyone else to blame, then yeah, that's when you get real mad.
I think I started spiraling when he started making accusations to me of I was having conditional love because I was angry. And I would just say it, people have a right to be angry. If you've done something that's upset them, they have a right to feel that way. And he was just saying, like, that's conditional love. If you're not, like, you know, if you're feeling that way and, you know, you're not wanting a hug and kiss or whatever, that's conditional love. I'm like, no, it's just you're not in the mood for that at that point in time when you're upset at someone.
But what anything that he says doesn't make you angry, right? Anything that you say he says doesn't make you feel a certain way.
No, it's how I think about what he says.
How you think about it. He can say whatever he wants about unconditional love.
Right.
And that's another model you can work on.
Right.
Right. He said, you know, he said you have conditions on our love or something like that.
Right.
What do you make that mean? You know, he can have an opinion about that.
Right.
If he wants. So it's just realizing that anything that he says, anything that he does, the fact that he has a hurt leg or, or had surgery or whatever it is, you get to decide how you want to show up.
Probably if I sit and feel the anger and work through those emotions, I'll get past it faster. Mm-hmm. Versus eating and not sleeping. Right.
Or lashing out at him, you know, that might be another action, right?
Right.
I mean, some amazing practice for you would just be to feel anger and not have to, because I know, you know, I've been angry before and I'm snapping at my husband, I'm overeating or whatever it is. What amazing practice to just feel anger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll work on that.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Keep this posted. All right. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Hold on just a second, y'all. Let me close this screen. I think we're on our lunch break here, and Chris and Corinne are in the other room chit-chatting. Okay, Misty and then Dana. I got to be taking notes too. All right. Are you there?
I think so.
Let me ask you to start your video.
Hi.
There you are. Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
All right. What's going on?
This thing.
Yes.
I have a couple of things. I have been working through the No Fat Girl module, and yes. I'm working on the right question worksheet.
Okay.
And I'm kind of drawing a blank on a lot of the information. Like, it's asking me, what are some questions you ask now that you are, I guess, at a dead end?
Mm.
And I'm not really quite sure if I've left it blank at this point. I haven't filled anything out in there because I can't think of any of those questions that are considered a dead end.
A good example of, I mean, I've seen some of these on some plans and things. If it's a yes or no question, like, you know, I mean, it's not going to hurt you any necessarily, but the whole purpose of a right question or a powerful question to ask yourself is to get your brain working and finding solutions and finding ways that, you know, to solve your problem. And mm-hmm. So a good example of that just wouldn't really help you help you as much is just a yes or no question.
Okay. So, is that considered dead end?
Yeah, that's kind of dead end because again, it's not going to really hurt you any, but it's not going to get your brain working to solve problems.
Okay.
So do you have, I actually just saw this the other day. Are you looking for examples of powerful questions?
Yeah, I kind of am. I'm having the most difficult thing I'm dealing with right now that I'm keep trying to, work on is my overeat. I'm eating past my plus two and I'm doing the planner every single day. I'm doing the model and that was going to be my next one is, I need to make sure I'm doing the model correctly. I guess my powerful questions are kind of been more towards guiding myself into why am I overeating?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm kind of at right now.
So let's come up with, a powerful question could be just be how can I follow my plan today?
Okay.
You know, or how can I, how do you feel when you follow your plan? Like when you're able to assess your day and we ask that question, did you follow your plan today? And you say, yes. How does that feel?
It feels great. I just haven't been able to make a yes because of that hunger scale.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So how do you think it would feel?
I think it would feel, like I was accomplished and strong because mm-hmm. I was actually able to follow the basics.
So like, I mean, it's just a question like, how can I feel accomplished and strong at the end of the day? I even like it like when my head hits the pillow, I like to have that because I can picture my head hitting the pillow, my head, you know, laying down and feeling, you know, I can visualize that ahead of time. And that's another thing about the powerful question is, you know, you can make it as specific as you want to. So that it is really real to you.
Okay.
And, you know, or like when I sit down, you know, to when I sit down on the couch at the end of the day or whatever it is, you know, whatever your kind of routine is, just so that it's really tailored to you and you can visualize it as already happening.
So these were the two that I had. Okay. How can I level up, and how, what can I do today to remind myself of my plus two? Does that seem like I'm on the right path?
So when you ask yourself, so this is kind of a good, this is good for everyone to just kind of, okay, so those are great questions, but can you think of answers right now off the top of your head?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if you can already think of a few answers, then that's good. Right.
So and that so, okay.
Yeah. And so you definitely at least want to maybe come up with a couple of possible answers. And then, you know, you think of those and then your brain start, you know, the gears start turning and your brain starts to think of some other answers as well throughout the day. But here's the other thing about the powerful question. A lot of times you've got to remind yourself of what it is throughout the day. You know, just writing it down in the morning, I find that that's not enough for me because I just don't remember it. And so, you know, there's apps on your phone. There's the, Corinne talks about the Think Up app. And it's where you can actually record your own voice, asking yourself, you know, saying things to yourself or asking yourself things or whatever you want to say. And then there's, I use a, an app called Alarmed. You know, there are other, there, I mean, there are a million of them, but you know, where you can just type it in, you can type in your question and then it'll just pop up on your phone. You know, at certain times of the day that you set. And so that's another important thing about your question is that you just want to, or you, I mean, or, you know, if it's not an app, it's just, you put it on a sticky note or something and in, or put it, you know, on the, this front home screen of your phone or just something where it reminds you throughout the day.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. So I wrote those down. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, and one last thing, because this is the other thing that I found was that if you have the planner or if you print out the planner, there's a big list of example questions at the beginning.
That's right. And that's what I was going to ask. Is that what that's referring to?
Yes.
Is powerful questions.
Yes. That is that when we talk about, when we say powerful question, or we say right question, right answer, or we say question of the day, those are all the same thing.
Okay.
It's all just, I mean, and the whole concept is getting your brain working on answering a question, because our brain is like a computer. If you just kind of input something into it, it will get to work on, you know, on solving the problem. And so, yeah.
All right. Perfect. For the model, I felt like I was, you know, I'm using the model on the planner, the unintentional and the intentional model every day. And, but when I actually started doing the worksheet, I started thinking, well, maybe I'm doing it wrong. Cause on the worksheet, it asked me for my C, and my C was I eat, push past my two, since I've already kind of recognized what my issue is. My thought was, this frustrates me. My feeling was anger. The action was overeat. That was already in there. And then my response was I gain weight.
Okay. So yeah, this is a common kind of thing that happens, especially with new folks who are working on the model with the overeating models. Basically, you can put overeating in a couple of different places. And so for you, and this is, yeah, this is really good to kind of tell everybody or, you know, teach everybody or remind folks. So when you put an overeat, because you kind of got it in two places, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to just have it in one place. And so when you put it in the action line, that helps you work on your thoughts and feelings before the overeat happened.
Okay.
Right. You know, your thoughts and feelings leading up to the overeat.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so your circumstance, so let's just do one for you. So when you end up overeating, what's an example circumstance? Are you like, where are you? What time is it?
That kind of stuff. It's always, I shouldn't say always, but it's 99% of the time it's at dinner.
Dinner. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So dinner, you know, could be your circumstance, right? And we could be more specific with, you know, a specific time or something like that. And so then what are you thinking and feeling that leads up to you going past your plus two?
To be honest, I just am not even really thinking about it. I'm just, like, I'll think about it for a quick second, but then I'm like, oh, it's not a lot anyway. I'm like, cause I try to serve up a smaller portion. So I'm like, oh, it's not a lot anyway. Maybe I can go one more, two more bites and it will be fine. So,
That's it. I mean, that is the thought right there. Like you don't have to dig any deeper than that. I mean, it is probably for you like, oh, I could probably just have a couple more bites and it'd be fine.
Okay.
And so that's also important for a lot of y'all to remind yourselves of, you know, it's not some deep, dark thought a lot of times. It is just a habit of something that, you know, it's something you've been thinking and developed a habit where it's just like, oh, probably one or two bites will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And when you add up one or two bites, meal after meal, or even just dinner after dinner after dinner, mm-hmm. because I love it when we have a thread in the Facebook group where people have committed to leaving bites behind. And then they take a picture of every single meal, like every plate and the food that they have left behind to visualize you. When you are able to visualize that and see how much food you are leaving behind, it's like, that's a lot of food, right? Mm-hmm. But when we just keep practicing that thought, oh, it'll be okay. It's not that much. I'll just finish up the plate, you know, or whatever it is, or I don't want to waste it, or, you know, things like that. That just adds up day after day after day.
Okay, so it's okay to just think simple.
Oh my gosh. Or it's just, I mean, it can even be simpler than that. Then it can just be like, that looks good. Like, yeah, I want that.
Like, I said, that was the other thing. It was like, it tasted really good. And it's something new that we tried. And I was like, I want this. And this is,
I mean, when you think about, you know, how, like, before you found PNP, right? When you were just eating and, you know, maybe gradually gaining weight or something like that, you weren't thinking deep, dark thoughts when you were overeating. It was just, you were just like, this is good. Yeah. I want more of it. It tastes good. Mm-hmm. And so now that you're actually, you know, working on trying to pull up those thoughts, it's so interesting how we want to think, oh, it can't be that simple, when it absolutely is a lot of the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So just kind of, so that's great. You know, that's, again, that's just a great lesson for the model, where it's just try a really simple, a simple thought first. And then you can, you know, if you just kind of think maybe you want to dig a little bit deeper, it's like, okay, why do I keep thinking a little bit won't, you know, this will be okay, or a little bit, you know, you can work on kind of digging if you want to, but then eventually it's just like, maybe it's just, that's all it is.
Habit. Just a habit.
Habit.
So I had posted in the Facebook and somebody had mentioned, oh, you know, do a recovery worksheet. And I hadn't thought about that. I actually had forgotten about recovery worksheets from the podcast and everything, because I'm just working on the model, September baby. And then I was like, oh yeah. So I went ahead and I printed up a couple of those recovery worksheets. And so I can make it very simplified, right? Because I just don't really feel like there's anything deep and dark seated going on necessarily just yet. It's just a habit that I have where I'm just eating because it's there.
Well, I will give you all a little secret. It's not a secret, but it's just if you look at the recovery worksheet, it is, you are creating a model in that worksheet, because you outline the circumstance. I think in the full recovery worksheet, it says, analyze the circumstance. What was the thought? What was the feeling? You are creating a model right there every single time you do a recovery worksheet. Okay. And so you absolutely want to be filling those out every time. So I want you to print out more than just a couple. I want you to have them at the ready, because you don't want to have to say, oh, I'll print one out and fill it out later, because you want to fill those out as soon as you can after an overeat. And then you can go back, you know, you'll have that data to go back and look at. Okay, I think I'm ready to model, you know, what's going on here. Let me look back at these sheets and see, because you're going to have a lot of the same thoughts, you know, a lot of the same feelings. And then of course the action is going to be, you know, is going to be overeat. Mm-hmm. And then the result is, you're not losing weight, but also you're, you know, you're enforcing a habit, an old habit.
Okay.
And so, but let me, okay. So that's that. But I want to tell y'all, so there's another way to kind of process overeats in the model. So we talked about the first one was to put it in the action line. And so that mm-hmm. helps you kind of come up with those thoughts and feelings before the overeat happens. Then you can move the over, like after the overeat happens, you can move it into the circumstance line because it becomes a circumstance, right? It is part of your past, you know, that you okay. had an overeat, let's say at dinner or whatever it was. And because everything that happened in your past, even if it was yesterday or if it was 30 years ago, it's now a circumstance. It's, you know, it's a fact. It happened. There's nothing, you know, we can do to change that it happened. And so you put it up here and then you process your thoughts and feelings after. And, you know, what is your thought about having had that overeat? Mm-hmm. And, you know, do you make it mean that you're a terrible person? Do you make it mean that I'll never figure this out? Or do you make it mean this is an opportunity for me to do a recovery worksheet and learn from this? And so like an action could be recovery worksheet. Right?
Okay. Action could be recovery. Okay.
Mm-hmm. This is a, you know, this is an intentional model. This is one that, you know, will get us a result that we want. And so let me just fill this whole thing out. So what would be, let's say you're going to do a recovery worksheet. What do you need to be thinking and feeling to do a recovery worksheet after you have an overeat?
What do I need to be thinking and feeling? My powerful question, I guess, why? Why did I overeat?
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I wonder why I didn't, you know, I wonder why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you know, and your feeling could be curious. So, you know, another thought is, I mean, and when I say thought, it doesn't have, it actually in with models, you don't want your thought to be a question. So the powerful okay. question of the day is a way for you to come up with your thoughts
okay.
that you can then model. So if you find that you're doing a model and your thought is a question, you want to answer that question. And okay. so like, if you ask yourself, why did I overeat today? You know, like mm-hmm. say your circumstances overeat
mm-hmm.
and then you know, your thought is like, I want, you know, why did I do that? You want to answer that question.
Okay.
And for you, it could be something just like, I just wanted to eat the last couple of bites, you know, I thought the last couple of bites would be okay or, you know, whatever it was. And then that is your thought.
Okay.
So again, the questions are, the purpose of the questions is to bring up your thoughts.
Okay.
Okay. So, but, you know, if you still can't come up with a thought, your thought could be, I wonder why this happened. Okay. And, but that, I guess that is kind of a question. So it could just be like, I'm going to figure out why this happened. You know, that's more like a sentence. Your feeling is curious, and then you do a recovery worksheet.
Okay.
And your result is, you know, you work on figuring it out.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah. So I know we covered a lot of stuff here, but, and so I want you to go back and listen to this again when the recording comes out, because I knew I threw a lot of stuff at you because I know you're just learning the model, but yeah, I think it's really good because that's going to be the first thing when you're first learning the model, you're going to want to work on your overeating, right? You're going to want to work on, okay, how can this model help me? And I love teaching that lesson about that you can put it in two different places because you can put it in the action line to process the before it happens, and then you can move it up to the circumstance line after an overeat and then process it from there. And figure out really just kind of how you want to show up after you have an overeat, right? And we always teach that, you know, we want to practice not judging ourselves. We want to practice just, you know, a thought like, this is part of the process. I'm going to learn from this. you know, it's, you know, I don't have to be perfect, all that kind of stuff.
And I see that the next model is all about overeating, it looks like. So
in the workbook?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, perfect. Perfect. So yeah, I love those example models that you can, you know, that you can do, or the thought downloads in the workbook. So yeah, you're doing all the work.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later. Bye. Y'all, I got to be taking notes here. I just am not super prepared. Okay. That was Misty, and Kat was first, and then Tammy. Kat, Tammy, Misty. Okay. Valerie is up next. Hello. I just asked you to start your video.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. Oh, she left. Where'd she go? Valerie, raise your hand again. I'll get Dana on here, and then Valerie, you can be up next. I don't know what happened to her. There's Dana. Hi.
Hey. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So, I started in September. Oh,
Valerie's here. Okay. Valerie, I'm going to take you back down.
Hi.
Okay.
I think what happened is I changed computers and my hand must have
gone down. Yeah. So I'll tell Valerie, raise your hand again. Just come on and raise your hand. Okay.
Okay. All right. I hope you're enjoying camp.
Yes, as always, as always. It's great.
I started in September and really super excited because I'm down 10 pounds and doing really well with the four basics and all that good stuff. And I just got pneumonia. And so I'm kind of beating myself up a little bit because of how I feel. And didn't know, I've been working a model a little bit to try to not beat myself up because I'm obviously not sleeping, I can't breathe, and I'm not eating because I'm not hungry, and I'm mm-hmm. not going to the gym. So I guess I just was kind of wondering if there's any support or, you know,
what have you come up with in your model so far?
So basically that I have pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And that I'm kind of losing momentum, which upsets me the most because, you know, when you get going and you're feeling great, like I hit a wall.
All right. So, okay, let's do this model too, because this is a good one.
Excuse me.
All right, let's see. So, I mean, and that's a really good circumstance, right? You have a diagnosis of pneumonia. That's very factual. Yeah. And so we can put that in the C line. And then the thought line is what you're making that mean, right? About, and in this case, about your weight loss journey.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you said I'm losing momentum?
Yeah. I feel like, to me, it feels just like a huge roadblock.
Mm.
Obviously one that I know I can't control other than with, you know, medication and whatever, but, I just like, I want to stop like beating myself up about it. So, in the feeling, I feel kind of just broken right now. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just broken and, that's not my normal way to feel obviously. So, and my actions are basically not sleeping, not eating, not exercising, all the things that I should be doing.
But here's the thing that none of that stuff is coming from the thought I'm losing momentum, because I mean, you're sick. You're not supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to be taking care of your, you know, your physical health right now. Right. Mm-hmm. And what the action is that you're beating yourself up. So
I guess, right.
So the circumstance is pneumonia. The thought is I'm losing momentum, that you said this is a roadblock, right? Those are all thoughts about you having pneumonia, thoughts mm-hmm. that you're choosing right now. You're mm-hmm. feeling broken. And so when you feel broken, the action is you beat yourself up. You continue to tell yourself you're broken, that you're losing momentum, that, you know, this is going to mess up your weight loss, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, your actions of not sleeping, not eating, I mean, that's another model, right? That's just because you're sick and you've got, you know, different kind of things going on. And mm-hmm. so, but that's not your problem. Your problem is that you're beating yourself up, that you got pneumonia. Again, something like you said, you couldn't control. It's like you're mm-hmm. fighting with biology. fighting with the fact that sometimes we get sick.
Yeah. And well, I struggle too with like my twos, because, you know, when you're sick and you're taking antibiotics, and, you know, so I struggle like, am I hungry, or is it just, you know, that I've just had to take this gigantic horse pill, you know? Right.
But you're making that mean that you're broken somehow, when I can, you know, I can look at you and say, you have pneumonia. Of course, your hunger signals are not going to be the same. Of course, I mean, your body is not even thinking about weight loss right now. Your body is totally focused on healing you. And it should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just thinking about that and thinking, okay, I'm, you know, weight loss is not the priority right now. Me getting better and healing is what's important right now. And that's not to say you need to go out and go crazy with food, right? I mean, food can be a help with helping you to heal. Certainly won't hurt you any if you're...
Yeah, I think it's the opposite. It's like, I don't want any food, you know? And so it's like, people would be like, oh, I'd love to feel like that. But, you know, for me, I think, no, I need to eat to get healthier, you know, to feel better, to, you know, get back on track. So it's just kind of like thrown me for a little loop. But
And so I think, yeah, I just think for you, it's thinking that kind of stuff. This is throwing me for a loop. No, people get sick. Right? We all get sick at one point or another. And I get to choose what I make it mean about everything. And I'm just going to decide right now that I'm just going to, I mean, you know, you can always consult your doctor and things about what you should be eating or not, or that kind of thing. But it's just, I mean, I know when I'm sick, you know, sometimes I want to eat and sometimes I don't. And so, most of the time it's just like, okay, I'm going to listen to my body just like I always do when I'm doing my hunger scale and everything else. Sometimes your body doesn't need food while you're sick, because again, it's focused on doing other things, repairing your cells and all that kind of stuff.
I've been obviously doing my plans, and when I journal, it's just like, you know, sick. Like, it's just really hard to even put thoughts down, because like, I just don't feel good, you know? And I guess that's okay. Right?
I was going to say, is that okay?
Yeah.
It's a matter of practicing that, because you're going to keep beating yourself up until you have some compassion.
Mm-hmm. And self-care too, you know, like I think about every day this week, you know, my self-care was, you know, going back to the doctor or making sure I take, you know, whatever, when I'm supposed to. And I think I just need to try to learn that it's okay to be sick.
Yeah.
I'm just not really good at it. And right. I just don't want it to stop what I've got going that's going so well. And right. I think that's what I worry about.
Well, but the thing is that the more that you beat yourself up, the more that you resist it, that could actually prolong mm-hmm. this, because you've got these cortisol stress hormones, you know, going on and all that, you know, all of that, everything's connected, right? Mind, body, everything is connected. And so for you, it's just ultimately, okay, you know, a powerful question you could ask yourself every day is, okay, how can I heal my body today? You know, what are the best ways I can heal my body today, physically and, you know, mentally and emotionally? Mm-hmm. And you know, what we're talking about is, you know, is the mental piece is okay. It's okay for me to be sick and I'm going to do what I can to get better at, you know, in the time that it's going to take. Right. I mean, we can't determine how long that's going to be, but it's just because it's so interesting how our brain can just make a big old story about, well, about how you got sick and why you got sick, right?
I know. And my mom was like, I know it's from the gym. And, you know, I was just like, I'm not going to go with that thought for sure. But, right. And I think a positive, too, is just knowing that, you know, I can pick up where I left off and just keep going, even if I have to, you know, maybe go at a slower pace as far as, you know, taking walks or whatever without getting back into.
I mean, you can absolutely see this as however you want, and why not see it as, okay, this is my opportunity to practice fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Just, this is my opportunity to practice listening to my body, to, you know, to come to be resilient, to, you know, to really think about what's important in life, you know, all these things. It's just, okay, what is this? How could this be an opportunity? That would be an amazing question to just get your brain to work on. And get you out of that beating yourself up.
Oh, sorry. I think I'm going to watch the self-love bonus course little bit, because, you know, when I'm not really good at being sick because I've got, you know, all this stuff that I do. And so I need to learn that it's okay not to be everything to everyone, and including myself, especially when you have something like this.
What if getting pneumonia is actually a form of self-love? Like, it's a message from your body telling you to, hey, listen to me. I love how, you know, we can think about, like, maybe my body is trying to send me a message. What can my body be telling me right now? Maybe it's telling me to slow down. Maybe it's telling me to think about this or that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of open up your mind to that. Okay. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to mean that anything is wrong or that you're broken. It could actually mean that you're, like, really well operate, you know, you're a well operating machine in terms of your body, where it's telling you, it's giving you signals, and it's time to listen to those signals.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Did Valerie come back? Valerie, let's see. Valerie, raise your hand again. I think I see you on here. If you're able to come on. Let's see. Is there a question? Peggy says, any suggestions for finding your plus two and stopping before full? Okay. So first off, Peggy, I want you to go back and review the hunger scale lesson in OBS. Here's the thing about those of you all who are new, or maybe who are going through OBS again. It doesn't matter if we listen to it yesterday or a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever it is. We are always in a different place when we are listening to these lessons. We're, you know, our brains are in a different place. We're, you know, just evolved and things like that. And so absolutely go back and listen to that for sure. Second, so for finding your plus two and stopping before full. So it's just a matter of really working on eating totally undistracted. So no computer, no phone, no TV, and really practicing listening to your body and also listening to your mind. Was it Coach Kathy I was talking about this with, where she said, it's so interesting how when I am eating and I hear my brain say, I wonder if it's time for me to stop. And that's for her, that is a really good signal. There is a great worksheet in OBS called the Hunger Scale Worksheet, and it gives you all of these physical, emotional, and mental signs of different places on the hunger scale. And then we also provide you all with a blank worksheet that you can fill in for yourself, because the reality is that everyone is a little bit different. but you want to just be curious and open and just work on figuring it out. And eventually you will get to a place where you figure it out most of the time. But, you know, I'm several years into this and there's still days that I eat past plus two because I'm eating too fast, or I just take a couple of extra bites and I just say, okay, well, that today was a great lesson in learning that I'm still always working on my hunger scale, and that's okay. So go back and listen to that lesson, work on that worksheet. Another great idea is to post in the Facebook group. You'll get all kinds of different ideas, but I mean, some popular or some, you know, some people have a sigh, right? Where it's just, oh, okay, I'm full, or not full, but I'm satisfied. Again, I kind of get that mental chatter when I hear some chatter like, should I have another bite or not? That usually means that's time to stop. And I, you know, I don't take another bite. Physically, there is just a little bit of pressure in my abdomen area. But again, with your plus two, you want to be able to still do some yoga, still go on a brisk walk, all that kind of stuff. So just kind of take that information and with an open mind and, you know, curious mind, move forward with just practicing it and just not ever thinking that you're going to get to a point where you're going to be perfect at it or you're going to have it totally figured out, and just being okay with that. Okay. All right. We've got Debbie and Miranda. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Howdy.
That was you.
Yeah, that's me. I don't know. I chose that name a long time ago, figuring like there were not that many Debbies, so I had to distinguish myself. Okay, hold on. Let me set this up. There we go. Okay. So I have a question.
Okay.
I have noticed that 7 out of the last 8 days, I've been eating like an asshole.
So we might need to work on a little self-judgment.
Well, yeah. Okay. I mean it sort of tongue in cheek, but there's been various reasons. And like, I haven't had to do a recovery worksheet prior to this for like over a month.
Mm.
So this is like, and considering that we know each other and that I've been working on other stuff, this was sort of like, oh, something is going on here that's more than just like, oh, I want it in the moment, or, you know, my in-laws have been visiting, so there's been other food and things happening in my home around. Uh-huh. So here's what I'm kind of coming up with is I'm having difficulty determining which thoughts I need to work on, because I've got lots of them, as we all do. And when I try to actually go, okay, here's my circumstance, the thoughts that I come up with are actually, I don't know, they're not anything that get me. I guess when I think about my thoughts, the thoughts that I recognize are the nice ones. And when I do my thought downloads, some of the other ones come out, but then like, as soon as I put them in the thought line, I go, well, that's bullshit. So like, I'm having a really tough time determining which thoughts are the ones that I need to work on or focus on, or.
So what's your definition of bullshit thoughts?
Thoughts that like I can immediately recognize as something that I don't really believe, or that I know isn't true.
Well, so, but like, I mean, you could be thinking, you could have a thought that creates a feeling, that creates an action of overeating, even if you don't believe that thought.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of the overeating stuff, I mean, it's mostly been off plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been overeats. I have been overeating, but most of the overeating that I've been doing in this last week or so has been just because we have a bunch of people around the dinner table and I'm not paying attention.
Okay.
I'm just not focused. So I know what that is. I've done that before, but a lot of the off plan eating has been things like, I'm having extra drinks and I justify that because I want to figure out what my thoughts are. So I want to loosen up my executive function and I'm doing all this dumbass justification. There it is. It's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And then,
so you know what you're doing. So what is like, the issue to solve here?
So my question is like, as I'm working on, my thoughts, so there a couple of things. What's the difference between, so I practice thoughts and I've also just given up on them, which is kind of, I don't know why I'm doing that other than I want to try and see if these are really the thoughts I want to practice. So you do these thoughts like in the morning of like, I feel good and fully enjoy my body. That's something that I've practiced for a long time. And that's just sort of like a mantra, right? Versus the thoughts that I have in the moment, which, you know, we've been working on of like, I don't want people touching me. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about that, like, I don't want people touching me. That's one that pops up in the moment. Mm-hmm. So to me, the difference, what I'm asking is like, okay, there's these thoughts that I practice as overarching themes to my life versus, these ones that happen in the moment. And how do I come up with the ones that I want to practice in the moment that help me with that sort of like, I don't want to be touched thing. Mm-hmm. Or I don't want people touching me. Mm-hmm. My daughter just came in the room. How do I come up with that? Cause I, you know, when I actually examine that, I don't want to be touched. That's actually not true. When I really sit and think about it, it's not true, but it happens in the moment. Where do I come up with something that's like, I don't know, what do you call it? Like just, you know, a way to deal with it in the moment, a thought in the moment. Mm-hmm. So what are the differences between those and the ones that I am working on as sort of like daily thoughts?
I'm just going to throw something out there and say, I mean, what popped in my head is what's important is the action line, right? Okay. I almost think you're kind of getting real caught up with thoughts in terms of like different kinds of thoughts and things like that. But ultimately, if you think about the model, the action line is what creates your result.
Okay.
And so, you know, these thoughts can come up in the moment or you can be practicing these other thoughts. But ultimately, what's your action going to be that gets you the result that you want? And so, you know, and we know that we don't have to absolutely believe our thoughts to go ahead and get into action. And so for you, like with this overeating thing or this, you know, going off your plan, it's just like, you know, you can have all these thoughts, but you can still choose to eat or not eat, you know, according to your plan, and then get the result that you want.
Right.
And so I just think it's a matter of not overthinking all the thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Overthinking. Yeah. That's sort of, yeah.
I almost think that you think, and I'm using that word over and over again. It's like, you think, well, I have to have this thought to have this feeling, to have this action, to get this result. And it's like, what if you can just say, okay, I've got this thought in the moment. I've got this thought that I'm practicing, but I mean, I am committed to losing my weight. And I mean, this is the action that's going to be happening. And what happens when you keep doing the action over and over again and getting the result, the real thought that you want to keep, you know, practicing and keep in the forefront of your mind starts to come very clear because the model just starts working and the result proves, you know, the thought true of the thought that you really want.
Right. So if I put, you know, action line is to stay on plan, mm-hmm. or to catch myself the second that, you know, before interrupt it, before mm-hmm. I actually go and eat the things that I, or drink the things that I don't have on my plan. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what causes that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then in terms of like the thoughts that I'm trying to work on, how do I tell, like, how do I tell which thoughts I'm actually, so the bullshit thoughts that we all have, how do I tell which ones I need to actually address?
If you go through the entire model with them and get the result that you don't want, if they're just bullshit thoughts floating around in your head, you don't have to do anything with them. If you're not if you're not responding to them with an action and getting a result. So, the reality is that they're just going to be there. A lot of them are just going to be there.
They're going
to
be there.
You don't attach to them. You don't, fight back with them. You don't talk to them. You just let them be there.
Let them sit in there. And so, there.
But don't even judge them. Don't even call them bullshit thoughts. I don't think it helps you to call them bullshit thoughts.
Just
don't even worry about them.
And it's not until that I catch myself doing something in response to that, that it even matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I'm trying to work on that, that sitting in the unintentional model worksheet thing that you sent me. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out which things I really need to kind of sit in there, because I'm having a tough time. When I sit down and do it, the thoughts are all, they're not rainbows and daisies, but I don't come up with the thoughts that are actually, sending me into like that vicious cycle of stuff, or that are generating anger or frustration or all of that stuff. I don't find them very much. Or if I do find them, I can immediately spend like a little bit of time going, yeah, that's not actually true. And I don't need to attach to that thought anymore.
Yeah. And that's really good practice.
Maybe that's just the work.
Yeah. That's really good practice. And just recognizing, like, I was just thinking, I mean, there's some thoughts that you don't have to model if you don't want to, because if you're not, I mean, it's almost sometimes better practice to just let them come in and out, right? You know, kind of let the cloud float by and then just move on.
Yep.
And because again, when you're modeling it and really becoming aware of it, then you're kind of assigning an action to it when you may not even have any actions. Maybe they're just thoughts that need to float by, and that's okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Debbie. Okay. Miranda. And Jackie. Hello.
Hi.
Here you come. There you are. Hi.
All right. Hi. Sorry, I'm hiding out in the storage room at work. So
good for you.
Exactly. Being here.
Okay. So what's going on?
Well, I have been overeating this week. Last month, one of my goals was to be on plan. At least, my first one was 7 days, and I only missed 4 days last month that I was off plan. I'm still struggling with my hunger scale, but most meals I'm on point with hunger scale, kind of, I guess. I think I am. And then evenings, I kind of, that goes down the down the drain. I guess. So I need some, this week I've really been struggling though. I don't know. I did really good last week. I had a great weigh-in. And then on Sunday we went out, or Saturday we went out and had an exception meal and stuff. And I did really good with that. I ended up only eating like maybe a fourth of my food because I was at my plus two and I stopped. And I was super proud of that. And then Sunday came around and I just kind of didn't make my plan right away and just kind of didn't eat great. I ate off the plan I finally did make. And
so what was going on that day? What was going on Sunday? What was going through your head? Was it thoughts about the exception meal the night before? What do you think?
I don't know. I kind of get to this place where I think I'm doing well and then I get lazy, or I don't know.
So what is your So what do you think, because it seems like you're recognizing kind of a cycle or kind of a pattern, right?
Yes.
So what is your thought about, what do you make it mean about you doing well? Like, let's say, you know, your exception meal, right, on Saturday night.
Right.
You plan an exception. You ate to your two. You did it, you know, you did it right.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I don't know if I just get scared, like, to continue and be successful, or I don't exactly know.
I mean, probably something something in your head is going like, okay, that wasn't really all that bad last night. Like, or maybe even it could be like, that food wasn't even all that as good as I remember. I mean, it's just an experience like that can just bring up all kinds of thoughts, and it's totally normal, because when you do something new and it actually isn't that scary, or it isn't, you know, just as dramatic as you think it's going to be, then that's when all these questions start to come up. Like, could I really do this? And that I did that, and it, you know, I didn't have a lot of drama over it. And then our brain just goes crazy. Like, well, things are going too right here. And we need to, you know, we need to come up with some problems, more problems to solve. So let's go ahead and overeat today.
Okay.
I mean, that's basically all that's happening. Come in.
Okay. Oh, my shoulder. Okay.
So that's basically all that's happening. It's just recognizing that all this stuff is totally normal because you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing something new.
Right.
And your brain is just kind of freaking out a little bit. And so it's just being aware of that and saying, okay, of course my brain is going to want to go and look for problems to solve when I'm doing well.
Okay.
Because it's used to, that's what it's designed to do, is to solve problems. And when there aren't any problems, when I actually have an exception meal and I do it, you know, successfully, then it goes looking for other things to, you know, to solve. And so you're onto your brain now, and you can say, no, we're all about getting some more successes under our belt. And so, you know, you get back. I mean, that's when you practice, you know, the next day. Because even already, when you woke up on Sunday morning, your brain was like, oh, let's not even make a plan.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And because that'll be something we could, you know, that'll be the new problem. And so it's a matter of you practicing overriding your brain and saying, no, we're doing our plan today. We're doing this new thing. And I'm just going to, you know, you can keep throwing a fit, brain, if you want to, but we're going to, you know, we're doing this now. And just taking control, taking the reins of your brain. And over time, it doesn't feel as, you know, as uncomfortable as, you know, or as weird or whatever it is. But it's just right now for you, it's recognizing that everything that's happening is totally, totally normal.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of on like cruise control. I was doing so well, and I was turning food down and not even thinking twice about it. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, finally got the hang of this. And then Sunday rolled around and all that happened. And then it just kind of proceeded into the rest of my week. And I'm like, Thursday I was on plan, but other than that, I've been having a really hard time being on plan since then. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. And it's like, it's a matter of kind of asking a really powerful question. It can just be, okay, if nothing was going wrong here, if nothing was confusing, how would I explain what's happening? And it can just be, okay, you know, this is just my opportunity to get right back at it and not make this a big deal. What if this wasn't a big deal? That's an amazing question.
That's what I keep telling myself, because like in my mind, I'm looking for some like deep, dark reason why I'm acting like this. And I'm like, I really don't think it is. I just think it's just me being that way, being rebellious against myself.
I mean, if everyone could ask that question after an overeat, after a binge, after going off plan, whatever it was, what if this wasn't a big deal and it was just part of the process? Here we go. You know, let's, you know, see what we can learn from it, but then nothing to see here anymore. You know, after a little while, it's just like, okay, just keep moving forward and not dwelling on things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the best way to move forward now? And just,
I'm going to ask you that. What is the best way to move forward?
Well, I suppose the best way to move forward would be just to stay on plan and make sure I'm planning realistically and just work on my.
There's no magic solution. It's very boring. The answer is very boring. You basically just four basics, back to the four basics, back to the four basics. You know, you want to do your recovery worksheets and all that and learn from, you know, from what you're doing, but there's nothing else in you. And again, your brain is looking for, wait a minute, there must be more we need to be doing. It can't be this simple to just get back at it. Nope.
Right. Yeah. Cause like in a lot of, I did recovery worksheets for those nights and most of the time it was, you know, some things had gone on during the day and it's been raining around here like for days and it's, you know, that needs some sunshine. But, most of it's just, I wanted it. That's it. That's, you know, my biggest excuse was just, I wanted it. So I.
And you wanted it one night and that, I mean, and like, and that worked, right? Like that, like, oh, if I just tell myself I want it and I'll, you know, I'll give it to myself. It takes one time. And then the next night it's like, well, I just said I wanted it last night. I'll say that again. And I'll, cause you know, your brain is looking for, you know, the easiest way to keep doing what it was doing in terms of overeating and all that kind of stuff. Right. So it's like, it's just not any more complicated than that.
Okay.
It's just so not.
Just making it more complicated.
Yes. Than it needs to be.
I'm good at that.
Yes. So it's time to practice. Okay. What if this, you know, what if this was very simple? What if there was no big hairy thought to find? What if this was no big deal?
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. I tend to do that. I tend to go to,
you know, it's new, but you can absolutely practice it.
Okay.
And it's like, it's all, this is good news because it's, you know, it's a lot easier just to think that things aren't a big deal, right? It's a lot easier. Right. You can use your mental energy on other things in life.
Right.
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 You don't have all this drama with overeating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. That's the magic. That's the magic here. That's the magic pill. If there's anything, it's just not making things a big deal, not beating yourself up and moving forward every single time.
Yeah, and that's something I've been working on. My accountability partner and I went through the self-love in August and September there, and that really was beneficial. And
that course, I'm telling you, is just amazing.
Yes.
And I mean, and that it's all connected, right? Because when you make things a big deal, then you start beating yourself up. You start thinking you're broken. You start thinking you're different.
Yep.
And so that amazing question, what if this was no big deal?
Mm-hmm.
is a game changer.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Good call. Good question. Love it. Okay.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Yep. Bye.
Got to get back to work. All right. Jackie. Oops. Where's Jackie? There she is. Okay. I didn't change my name. Are you there, Jackie? Hold on. I forgot to do this. Let's see. Let me unmute you. There you are. Now I'll ask you to start your video. For you new folks.
Yeah, hello. Jackie.
Are you there? I hear you. Jackie, are you there?
Mm-mm.
I hear you, but I don't see you. Jackie, going once. Jackie, going twice. Okay, I'm going to change you back, Jackie. You raise your hand again if you want to come back on. Okay. Yeah, so let's see. Oh, Valerie raised her hand by mistake earlier. Okay. All right. So I've just changed my name. I'm Coach Betsy, by the way. I keep forgetting that we have all these newbies that maybe don't know who I am. And actually, I'm going to be introducing myself at camp tomorrow. Kathy's actually doing it probably as we speak, because we just assume everyone knows who we are. Everyone, of course, knows who Corinne is, but doesn't always know who we are. So I'm Coach Betsy, and I have been with PNP basically forever, for probably 12, 13 years. And I have lost 70 pounds, and long story short, I am now a coach here full-time with PNP, and we're here at our camp. So if any of y'all have any questions about that, any questions about our events, this is our last event of the year, our last in-person event here in Nashville. And then our next one is going to be the 6-day weight loss. Let's see, lose weight and gain control with Corinne and the coaches. Kathy and I will both be there as well. And so that's our 6-day event in January. And then our next camp is in March, I believe. And then we have our Don't Stop Believing race in, I think it's going to be in May this year. I may just be totally butchering these dates. And then in October, we'll have our camp in 2020. Corinne did announce the other day that we are not going to be doing our homecoming this year. We just didn't find exactly the right place to hold it, and just want to really do it right. And so we're going to get really good at these smaller events in 2020, and then just totally rock out that homecoming in 2021. So that's super exciting. So anybody else? All right. Somebody raise their hand or ask a question in the Q&A. Let's see. Oh, here's Yvonne. Okay. But y'all raise your hand too if you want to get coached. Yesterday I ate off plan and overate twice. I did a recovery worksheet for both of them. I had a rough morning and I think was eating my feelings. My question is chips, which I planned, I completely overate. They are a downfall for me, my weakness. Should I avoid putting them on the plan? I felt like it was like my reward maybe. Yvonne, I want you to put them on the plan, because you got a big old story around chips that, they are a downfall for you, that they are your weakness, and you're allowing, just like a lot of people do with the scale, you know, the number on the scale, you're giving chips a lot of power over you, right? They're your weakness. They don't make you weak, right? Chips are chips. Chips are corn and oil and salt. They don't do anything, or, you know, depending on what kind of chips, right? Right? I'm thinking of tortilla chips, which, you know, I love. They don't do anything, right? They are not, they don't have any power over you. You just have a big old story around chips. And so I want you to practice planning them and practice a new story about chips that you absolutely can control yourself. And yeah, it's also part of your stories that they were your reward for something. And I want you to take all the power away from those chips and practice planning them realistically and practice following your plan. And so whether that means a serving of chips, whether that means a bag of chips, whatever it is, but you decide, right? The chips don't decide how many of them you eat or what you eat or, you know, whether you eat off plan. The chips don't decide anything. You decide. So I want you to practice making the decision yourself realistically, right? And that means if you eat a bag of chips at a time, then you plan a bag of chips and you're not eating behind your own back anymore. You're putting them on the plan and you are honoring your plan. So that's what I want you to do. And that's, you know, that's for all of you all who want to really practice taking your power back from food. You know, a lot of times we talk about how food talks to us from the cupboard, right? Food doesn't have a voice. What's talking to us is our thoughts about that food. Okay. So that's what I want you to practice. And if you need to start with a bag of chips, do it, because it's on your plan that you created, that you are in control of, and you always choose to eat those chips always. Okay. Y'all ask any more questions? We've got a couple of folks here, Tally and Kelly. So Tally is first. Come on. Are you there? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah. There you are. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
I'm a September newbie.
Awesome, welcome.
I'm new from September. Yeah, so I've never done this before, so this is very exciting. Yes. I wanted to ask specifically about afternoons home with my four kids.
Okay.
My oldest is six, so there's a lot of noise and a lot of hyperactive craziness going on. And I often find myself, I do great until then, and I often find myself eating what I make for them instead of what I planned.
Why?
And so I did a few recovery worksheets. So at the beginning I wrote that I do it because I'm just so like my thought, I did a few thought models and the circumstances, four kids at home, because I couldn't think of anything.
Yes. Okay. That's a good one.
And
like you could put like the time of day, right? I mean, you could be real specific. Oh, she's kind of freezing up a little bit. I'm going to work on your mom. Are you there? Let's see.
Okay. Good. Four kids at home. Connection.
I know. Yeah. Your connection is great. I'm going to work on your model. You work on moving.
Is that better?
Yes. Okay. I think that's better.
I have to stand in my kitchen. Okay. All right. Fine. So, all right. So my thought, so the circumstances, four kids at home. Then my thought was, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. There's no way I can handle this. And then my feeling is overwhelm, just, I don't know, out of control, uncontrolled, something like that. Then my action. Then I wrote was make unintelligent decisions. I just can't make a decision. I don't know if that's good action. And then the reaction and then the result is not lose weight or just be frustrated with myself. But then. And when I did a bit more thought work, I realized and more recovery, only kids are crying and complaining about things. So I think my real thought is only a bad mother could have kids, which makes her hopeless.
Oh gosh.
And then I just don't think.
Is not good. Tally, I'm going to take you back to.
Sorry?
Your signal is not good. You just keep going in and out. I'm going to take you back to attendee, and then I'm just going to talk to you because I think maybe I've got some things that I got from you that, and I'm working on a model here. So, and I heard you say hopeless maybe. So, and you can put it in the chat too. If you, maybe you want to put your model in the chat and or in the Q&A and we can work on it that way. Oh, and there's more questions in the Q&A too. But this is the model I came up with first. Four kids at home, right? In the afternoon. I heard you say, even before we got into the model, you said it's craziness, right? You said it's kids running around screaming craziness, right? And that is your thought. It's not a fact that it's craziness in the afternoon with your four kids. That is your thought about it. And so your feeling is overwhelmed because it's craziness. Sorry about the glare, y'all. And then your action is that you said you overate, you know, when you're making their snack, you're overeating, you're eating off plan basically, right? You're eating their snack instead of your planned snack or something like that. And your result is that you continue the craziness because you now it's craziness with your weight loss. Or lack thereof, right? So if it's craziness with my kids, it's going to be craziness with my weight loss too. And so that's the model that's going on now. So let me know if okay, I haven't heard from her yet. Let's see, Tally, let's get you back on here and see if maybe your signal's a little bit better. Let's see.
Hey, is this any better? I went outside.
Okay, let's see if that's better. Oh, no, you're frozen.
Okay.
Well, I think you're frozen up again.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to have to take you back out. Yeah. Yeah, it's just not good. Right there. Oh, no. Okay, Tally. Why don't you, here's the deal. So I just gave you your model. And so if you're where you can type in something, then we'll work on it that way or post it and ask coaches. And then we'll go from there. Okay. But that was the model that I pulled out. And that's something where, you know, and that a really good lesson with her model. Okay, Tally, you can type. Okay. So tell me about this other model that you were working on in terms of I think you said hopeless. I heard that at some point in your call. So work on that. And then I'm going to go to Kelly and then I'll look in the chat. Or just kind of what your question was. Okay. Are you there, Kelly?
Yes.
I don't see you. And I'm not able to ask you to start it, so
I'm on my phone. I'm wondering if that's
yes. It. Or we can just talk like this because you sound good.
Okay. Okay. So I've been in DMP since March of 2018, and I have lost 46 pounds, but I've gained about 5 pounds back, so I'm down to like 41, and I have been just the last 2 months have not just up and down, like gaining, losing the same 5 pounds. I'm doing the no BS again, doing my assessments and my plans. I have noticed the big part is that I'm not sticking to my plans, so I'm trying to make them more realistic. Mm-hmm. But I'm just I'm in serious like fat girl thinking mode. Like I just feel like I've lost confidence in myself, and I think I've been like overwhelmed. I don't know.
So what's going on? I mean, you lost, what did you say, 42?
46 pounds initially, yeah. And I've gained back like 5 of it.
So. Okay, why? Why have you gained back 5? Like what's this fat girl thinking specifically?
I know. In my head, so my initial compelling reason was because of my son's wedding, which I know is not a great thing. The wedding was in July, so it's done with. And, you know, my new compelling reason was to get to Wonderland. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm at 217 right now. And I was all the way down to like 211. And I just feel like I'm like stuck in my head that I'm never going to get below 210 and I'm never going to get to Wonderland. And I know that's a shitty thought and that's not what I should be thinking.
And so your Wonderland compelling reason is not compelling.
I thought it would be, but obviously it's not doing it for me. I tried to switch it. Go ahead.
You may have some, you know, some kind of lingering thoughts like after the wedding, right? It's just like, well, I did that.
Right.
And now I can kind of take my foot off the gas a little bit.
Exactly. That's what I think is going on. Cause I pretty much got to where I wanted to be. And I got so many compliments and everything was great. And now it's like, okay, now it's just regular life. And it's like, well, why is that not good enough though, just for me?
Yeah. I mean, and answer that question.
And I've been really trying to journal it, but when I journal, I feel like I'm all, you know, pumped up and I'm like, I'm going to do this. I could do hard things. But then when it comes down to it, you know, one of the things I was journaling about was I'm an empty nester. So I live all by myself. My younger son's at college. And I was like, well, it's probably loneliness, because I noticed I overeat more at night. But I really don't feel lonely. Like, I don't know. I think I'm just it.
I think right now you have just got a better reason to overeat than you have to not overeat.
Yeah.
And so for you, it's really going back to that compelling reason work and really deciding why, you know, I had a really good reason for a while and one that, you know, that allowed me to, I mean, cause you know, I want to just reiterate that a compelling reason doesn't make things easy. It doesn't make things easier or simple or doesn't, you know, take discomfort away, but you had a, you know, the good news is that you had a compelling reason that was working for you. When, you know, before, and for you, for now, now it's a matter of practicing a new one, you know, finding a new one that you can practice in those moments. And it's just almost kind of just practicing that discomfort again, practicing those, you know, that, that time when you, you know, that, that feeling of not, you know, it being hard and you doing it anyway.
Right. Having my own back. Right.
Yeah.
Cause I was doing it. It was, you know, it was like clockwork for me. Yes. I was in stage four. I was just zooming along. And I feel like ever since the wedding, and it's probably just a thought in my head, I've been struggling. You know, I'm just, okay.
Yes. That's so it's like, okay. So why do you want to lose more? Like, why do you want to get to Wonderland?
My health, number one. And you'd think that would be enough too. And that's what I keep saying. You know, I've been putting that as my compelling reason lately is my health. Cause you know, I have high blood pressure. So that should be, you know, number one. And I had a knee replacement like 7 years ago. So I want to keep that knee replacement. I don't want to be.
It's a matter of like, it's a matter of digging deeper. You know, when we do compelling reason, I want you to go back to that compelling reason worksheet and do the why, right? So you want to lower your blood pressure. Why do you want to lower your blood pressure? So answer that right now. Why do you want to lower your blood pressure?
For my health. So I don't have heart disease, you know.
Why do you want to not have heart disease?
Because I want to be healthy.
Why do you want to be healthy?
Because I deserve to be healthy.
Why do you deserve to be healthy?
Why do I deserve to be healthy? Because I'm worth it. I mean,
why are you worth it?
Oh,
see what I'm talking about though?
Yeah.
It's just saying, oh, for my health.
Right.
Right. That is not enough.
Yeah. You have to really get more detail.
You really have to start like drilling down. And this is the, like, I mean, and I love doing that with you because you didn't like it. Right?
Yeah.
You're like, but it should just be like, I should just be able to say like, I just want to be healthy.
Right.
But that is not, I mean, and that's when we're talking about compelling.
Yeah.
When we're talking about when we have a thought, a reason that we can go back to that just kind of hits us in the gut a little bit.
Yeah.
And that whole just, well, I want to be healthy.
That's not
do it.
Enough. Right.
That's not doing it.
Yeah. All right. And I'm going to work on that then.
Yes.
I think I'm going to post in Ask Coaches just so I can.
Yes. Do some work on it and then, you know, drill down as much as you can. And then, yeah, if you kind of get stuck or if you want to, you know, want more help, then yeah, put it in there.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. Like you can do the same thing with the, was it a knee replacement?
Yes.
It's like, okay, why do I want to maintain my knee replacement? Because I want to be able to walk for as long as I want to. Why do I want to be able to walk, you know, walk as long as I want to? Because I want to, you know, travel the world, or, you know, whatever.
Right, I want to hike. I want to,
right.
Okay.
I want to enjoy my grandkids. You know, it's really tapping into that, you know, peeling back a layer, another layer, another layer to really get to that. And that's what we mean by compelling. We don't mean compelling that it will compel you to do things
to make it easy.
To make it easier. Right. And and you know that. So that's what we mean by compelling.
Thank you.
All right. This was good. Yes. Even though I can't see you.
I know. I feel bad. I'm sorry.
No problem. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye, Beth.
All right. Bye. Okay, Tally. If you can figure out how to raise your hand by phone. Yeah, we can just talk by phone. So let me see if there's questions here. Got a couple. September baby, and I'm in an accountability group that isn't very active. We all joined in September and it's quiet in the group. Should I leave it and look for a new one? This is a good question. I'm torn because we meet on a Monday accountability thread and I volunteered to create a group page. Should I leave the group? The group page open and interact as others in it do, and in the meantime, join another group myself. So here's the question, anonymous attendee. You know, it's up to you, right? You have to make that decision for yourself out of what you want out of an accountability group. And here's the reality with accountability groups is that they're just all not a good fit, and that's okay, right? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing. It's so interesting with accountability groups and like people that want to leave them, or maybe like a couple of people want to go off on their own. All of a sudden, everything that you've learned about the model goes out the window because y'all think that you can hurt other people's feelings and that you can upset people or make people mad by leaving an accountability group, right? It's not the way the model works, and we know that. People feel hurt or they feel pissed off because of a thought they are having. And so this is an amazing opportunity for you all to advocate for yourselves and be grown-ass women, basically. And just say, okay, y'all, we've done this, and I've just decided that this group is just not a great fit for me, and or however you want to say it, right? But, like, I've got to do this for yourself. This, I mean, y'all join PNP. For a lot of you all, it was just a huge deal for you to even join and do something for yourself. Now this is your next thing to work on. This is your next opportunity to advocate for yourself again and say, you know what? I think I just want to try something different. And I wish you guys the best. So, and you know, this I'm torn. That is a feeling that's coming from a thought. Probably something like, I think I have control over these people's emotions by what I choose to do or not do. And y'all know that's not the way it works, right? Do what you need to do, and they will do what they need to do. Okay? So that's the advice I have there. Tammy, is it off plan if you eat your planned snack for lunch and skip the planned lunch, or eat it in the afternoon before dinner? It's only off plan if you are not following your hunger scale. So every single thing that you eat should be eaten according to your hunger scale. If you've got a snack on your plan and it's just like, oh, I've got a snack, I'm not really hungry, but I kind of feel like eating, and it's on my plan, no, that's not the way it works. If you have a plan, if you have a snack on your plan, but you're not hungry, you don't eat it. So it's okay to leave, and there's sometimes some confusion with our newbies on this. The goal is not to eat everything on your plan. It's not to have a perfect plan that you eat everything on, right? You're always, your hunger scale trumps everything in terms of that's how you follow your plan, is that you follow your hunger scale. So you may have food left over on your plan some days, and that's okay. It's okay to overplan and then just not eat everything on your plan because you're following your hunger scale. Some days you're going to want some days you're going to need a snack. It's not about want, right? Some days you're going to need a snack in the afternoon because you're at -2, and other days you aren't. I've pretty much cut most all snacking out, and that means I kind of sit with a little bit of hunger before dinner. It's all right. I practiced it enough now. I could have a snack if I want to, but I want to be sure that I'm good and hungry for dinner with my husband. So I just allow some hunger. I mean, I'm not perfect at it, right? I'm not saying I'm ever perfect at anything. But, but that doesn't mean I'll never plan a snack again either. But again, I always am following my hunger scale. Oh, Tally. Okay. So Tally, here's the deal. Post and ask coaches. You can even direct it to me. You can just say, hey, this is for Betsy. I talked to her on the coaching call, and these are my models that I've been working on. And this is, you know, my question about it. But basically what I had for you is that, yeah, we've just got, y'all let me know if there's any more questions, because we're about to be out of time. I want you to, you know, and go back and listen to this replay of what we did get from you. But I think you have this just assumption or this thing, that craziness is a circumstance for you. Or just ask yourself, just question that, right? Do I think it's just a fact that my kids, you know, create craziness? And so, because this model that I did is that, you know, it's craziness is a thought, right? And so, but yeah, it sounds like you've done some additional journaling, and just go ahead and put that in Ask Coaches. If anybody has let's see, I think I can do it real quick. Get the link for Ask Coaches. For those of you all who maybe haven't posted a question in Ask Coaches, that would be really good. There we go. I put the link in just click on over there and just check it out. Y'all can even just start by reading the previous answers. And that's the other thing. So on that page is yes, it's called Recent Answers. If you go to that page that I just put up on the far upper right-hand corner, it says Recent Answers. And so y'all can go through and read other people's questions and answers just to get an idea about all the different questions we answer. No stupid questions, no inappropriate question. Well, maybe there's inappropriate, but I mean, here's the thing. If you hear your mind going, oh, that's a stupid question, or, oh, I don't know if that's right for Ask Coaches, put it in there. I swear, y'all, we have answered every question from I want to cancel, what do I do? Or don't let confusion or doubt keep you from just getting the help that you need. That's basically kind of the lesson I'm trying to teach here is, because some of y'all may, well, I don't know if I should put it in Ask Coaches or if I should put it in support@pnptribe.com, the email address. We answer questions all the time that, you know, that some people send to support and some people send to Ask Coaches. We just want to get y'all's questions answered. And so we don't care where you put it. Beth says, you answered some people about this today. I've been eating 3/4 of my meals and feel better. It's not complicated. Love it. Right? Some of the best work you can do is just to practice leaving a few bites behind at each meal. It'll help you, just practice so much of this fat girl thinking that we've had, so much of this story we have around food, that one of my very favorite thoughts is there's always more food available to me. It just brings me just peace and freedom when I know that it's just okay for me to throw some food behind. You were thanking me for your question and Ask Coaches. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because it's just something that, you know, it's like, okay, if I get hungry in a little while, I can always make some more food, you know, have some more food. We're in the United States. It is 2019, and we're going to be okay. Because again, our brain is not evolved to 2019, or parts of our brain aren't, right? And so we want to go to this panic and this starving, or what if we starve? But to just allow ourselves to be okay with that and prove to ourselves that we'll be okay no matter what, that's just some of the most powerful work we can do. Okay. Let's see. Here's another question. How do you get over the sadness when you realize you don't need that much? I'm realizing I like to eat and don't need that much. Yeah. That's a learning experience, right? And kind of the big picture is that, okay, why did I like to eat to begin with, right? What was food doing for me? What is food doing for me that I could possibly get in other areas of my life? Why do I like food so much, right? Why do I look forward to my meals? Why do I, think about food all the time? And how do I want to change that, right? Like if I don't need that much food anymore, first off, you want to ask if like you need to get that, that hit, right? Because food, you know, gives us a dopamine hit, especially the good, you know, the good stuff, the Oreos and the processed, you know, the sugar and all that kind of stuff. First off, you want to say, okay, I know I like it because it gives me this hit of dopamine. But, you know, and then you can kind of go two different ways with it. Do I need that dopamine hit at all? And if I think I do, how else could I get it in my life that would get me the results I want on, you know, with weight loss and everything else? But here's the deal, ultimately, and it's kind of a gradual thing. Ultimately, you want to not be dependent on dopamine hits throughout your life, right? That's, you know, most of our life just needs to kind of be going along steadily and not have these big highs and big lows. But that's just something we have to practice and get used to. Because again, we're used to living in the highs and lows and not a whole lot in this middle ground. But what if that's just how life is supposed to be? You know, back in the day, they didn't have Oreos, right? Back in the day, they, you know, you maybe found a little bit of honey every once in a while or something like that, right? So there was just a high every once in a while. But we weren't chasing it on a daily basis or on a meal by meal basis. And that's what we've come to as a society, as a human race, that we're just constantly chasing this hit. And what if we decided not to do that anymore? So that's kind of the deep stuff that we can work on too. Because when you take the food away, you start to ask yourself that, right? You start to ask yourself, what if my life was just more of this, just kind of steady? What would I want my life to look like? Who would I want to have in my life? Who would I want to not have in my life, right? Because sometimes when we take the food away, then we start all of a sudden becoming attracted to like drama, and dramatic people. It's no accident because we're looking for that hit again. Or we go shop, we start going shopping. Or we start having sex a lot. You know, it's just like we replace one hit with another. And so here's the thing. It's okay to feel sad, right? It's okay to feel sad at first for not needing that much food. And then eventually it's like, okay, how do I want to feel now? What do I want to do? How do I want my life to be? It's just all that thought work we're doing around here. So, all right, y'all, anything else? I am going to eat some lunch real quick and then get back down to camp. So let's see. Let me go through the calendar here real quick and then we'll get off of here. Let's see. What do we got going on next week? Let's see. Tomorrow at noon, we'll still be in camp until middle of the afternoon tomorrow. So you will see Kathy on here for coaching with Kathy. And I believe that is, let me get off of here. I believe that's by appointment. I believe that those appointments have been set up already. Hope I'm not telling y'all wrong. Then let's see what's going on next week. So Monday night. I'll be back home and back at it. And we are going to be talking about, oh my gosh, y'all, the next week's module is our last module in OBS before we do a few weeks of some really fun stuff. But next week is Taking Control, all about overeating, basically, you know, all about why we're all here, right? Oh my gosh, these are some amazing, amazing videos that you'll be watching next week. And so Monday night at 6 p.m. Central, Corinne is just going to be doing a big Q&A all about the Taking Control module. Then Tuesday night, Kathy will be back at office hours, 6 to 8 p.m. And then Wednesday, Corinne has her public live at 8:30. And that's for, you know, her, for the public. And that's on her public page on Facebook. And then she'll be back at coaching at noon by appointment. And then Wednesday night is, let's see, Kathy is doing a Q&A for our Queens Club all about urges and buffering. So that's going on. Then I'll be doing, yeah, because Corinne is going out of town, isn't she? Just looking at my calendar here. Yeah, Corinne's going to be headed out of town again. And so, wait a minute. I lied. Wednesday at noon, Kathy is going to be doing more coaching. Kathy's just going to be coaching her face off next week. she'll be doing coaching on Wednesday at noon by appointment. And then I'll be doing the Q&A on Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Central. Just the general Q&A. We can talk about no BS. We can talk about anything y'all have questions about. I love doing those Q&As, and I hadn't gotten to do one in a while, so I'm looking forward to that. And then I will be back next Saturday doing office hours. So that's our next week. So Kathy and I'll be kind of holding the fort down because Corinne is headed out of town for a little while to do some good personal professional development stuff. So, all right, y'all, that's all I've got for today. Nicole says, I'm so thinking the right way. I've deleted my drama friends. Now getting rid of food as much. So she's on the right path, and you are, right? It's just so interesting to think how we replace one thing with another, and we just got to keep doing the work and keep moving forward. So, all right, y'all, that's all I've got for today, and I will see y'all again soon. All right, take care.